sell for offering. Jonah's always really, or Pastor Jonah's always really hard to follow offering teachings because he's very thorough and does a great job. But I guess just what's on my heart, it's something I speak all the time, but it's relevant. It's in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through, no, we'll just do 3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and excellence. So his divine power, God, Jesus, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that combination has given us all things. We have access to all things. We have all things living inside of us. And all things doesn't include lack. Right? No matter what area of your life, we're using it here for tithe and offering, money purposes. But apply this to anything in your life. If you're lacking anything, we have all things inside of us. All things. So it's no different with prosperity and finances. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm still growing in this area, but at least I'm growing. And I'm seeing good things happening. And I'm sure all of you have testimonies as to how tithing and giving have affected your life. And I would just encourage you to keep in your mind, all things does not include lack. But then there's the caveat. It comes through the knowledge of him, right? When we understand, when we have relationship, when we're working together, it's not a burden to give. When we're working together with the Lord, it's a joy to give. It's a joy to bless others. It's a joy to be blessed. So let's dig in and let's get that knowledge. Whatever you're lacking, you know, I've had to really spend some time and, you know, prosperity, and luckily I go to school that gives me a lot of good material for it. But, you know, it's a mindset and it's a relationship. God does not want us lacking. God wants us full and overflowing so we can share our abundance with others. Let's be that lighthouse. Let's be that place of hope for people. You know, up here, there is some kind of weird lack that's a mindset up here. And we need to change that. Because it's not only holding us back, it's holding the community back. It's holding, you know, our county back. It's holding, we need to grow in this. We need to break these chains. We need to give people information of hope and goodness so we can move forward with this. Money should not be an uncomfortable thing to talk about. Pastors shouldn't have to feel bad to come up and speak about it, because it's just the way it is. We all require finances somewhere in our life, at some point in our life. And do we believe that his divine power has granted us all these things? So I'll leave you with that. But dig in. Know in your heart. Get that knowledge. Let it be revelation to you, and then we can share it with others. Because that's the most exciting part, is sharing with others. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are a God of more than enough. You are the God of multiplication. And we thank you for this money that's flowing in, that it's going to flow out doubled, tripled, doesn't matter, exponentially, into this community, into those that need it, into this church, to meet its needs. And Father, we just thank you. We know we're blessed because we're obedient. Because you are good and you love us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not going to lie, I wasn't planning on speaking today, but I feel like I have something. But so when I was told this, what jumped in my spirit was just give some examples of standing. Give some examples of standing on the word, standing on our promises, standing on who we know we serve. Now, there's things that go along with that because we need to know who we are, right? It's hard to stand on something we don't know. It's hard to stand on something that we haven't built a foundation on. But if this isn't for you, it's probably for somebody you know. So, but I pray we walk out of here encouraged. You know, as always, I'm going to challenge, but I do believe we can be encouraged by what I have to say today, and I think it's just appropriate because we see what's going on. We all want to scream injustice, and we all want to, you know. But regardless, and we have to set this in our hearts, regardless of what happens, are we still going to be provided for? Regardless of what happens, do we believe the word and do we stand on the word, or do we follow down the ways of the world and get stressed out? And I'm sure we all know somebody right now who is just stressed out to the max. I know a poor gentleman at work that can barely function right now because of what's happening in the world. And yes, is it right? No. What's going on? No, it's not right. But how do we handle it as Christians? How is the Lord speaking us to handle what's going on in the world? And I think it's obvious there's a time to stand. There's a time to speak truth. And we speak it in love, but truth can hurt sometimes. But as long as our motives are right, and as long as our motives line up with the Word of God, we have to speak the truth, no matter what situation. So I want to start in Matthew 16. This is where Jesus is talking with the disciples. He asks them, you know, who do they say I am? Referring to the others, you know. Some say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And then he comes to them in verse 15. So Matthew 16, 15. Then he said to them, but who do you say I am? And I believe he asked them because he had relationship with them. You know, we can expect a lot of different answers from the world because they don't have relationship. But the disciples had relationship. And so he said, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So right now, today, who do you say he is? Is he your God of peace? Is he your God of love? Is he the God that's going to bring us through this, regardless of the outcome? Because we just don't know. Or are we going to walk in our own flesh? Are we going to walk in our own powers and our own abilities and let this drag us down? We are the church. We are the example of who Jesus Christ is. And he never shrank back for anything. So, who do you say he is? Is he a God of law and retribution? Are we being punished right now for the sins of our country? You know? Or are we just a people who turned our back on God? And when we turn our back on God, how does he help us? You know? We always want to pass the blame onto somebody else. But I can tell you it's never God. We no longer walk under the law of, if you do this, then I will do this. That time has passed. John the Baptist said, behold, he who takes away the sins of the world. The sins of the world have been taken away. We're not being judged by our sins right now. We are in an era of grace and love. What we're judged by is lack of relationship. And our lack of relationship is being represented in the world right now. Right? So who do you say he is? Is he a God of love? Is he a God of mercy? You know, is he that Calvinist God who just allows anything and everything because it's his plan and his will for your life? Baloney. Sickness is not his plan for your life. Confusion is not his plan for your life. Not knowing your purpose is not his plan for your life. Regardless of what's going on around us, we still have a plan and we still have a purpose to achieve. You know, we may not have the help that we used to have, but it doesn't matter because we serve a big God. And when we understand who we are, when we understand our identity, we walk, we go forward, because we're never asked to stand idle. It's an advance. It's an advance. It's forward, 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 go. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Because we serve the God Almighty. Your quality of life is determined by who you think God is. Who do you think God is? A.W. Tozer, he was a preacher back in the day, he said, the most important thing about you right now is what you think about when you think about God in you. When you think about your relationship, what do you think about? Do you think about his goodness? Do you think about how he's provided for you? Do you think about the things that he's brought you through in this life? Do you give him praise and honor and glory, or are you cowering before him? Are we begging and pleading for things that we already have because we have no knowledge of who he is? Right? As far as the election goes, we can't change a whole lot right now, but we can pray that truth is revealed, right? We can pray for strength and wisdom for those who are involved in this process. But just simply praying, God, your will be done, isn't going to accomplish anything. Do you think it's God's will for our country to go down in the dumps? No, it is not God's will. Thank you for saying no. Because there's a lot of people out there who say yes. You know? So when we think of God, and when we're meditating on him, what does our relationship look like? Is he a taskmaster? Or is he a good father? You know, we have to determine this in our hearts and in our minds because it makes a big difference, because I know it made a big difference in my life because I know how long I struggled and I know what my thought of God was. And it wasn't good. And so I struggled. Who do you say he is? Identity determines the relationship you experience with God. Because it's about relationship. It's about knowing each other. Truly knowing each other on an intimate level, not just head knowledge. Head knowledge only takes us so far. We need to plant that seed in our heart, and we need to let it take root, give it time to grow and bear fruit. And we can all do this. This is not just for the pastors, the teachers, the preachers, the prophets. This is for anybody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is for anybody who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Your true beliefs, your true identity will come out, especially when we are challenged. Right? I've seen it in my life. Maybe you've seen it in yours. I know we can give examples of others that we've observed of how when things get tough, you know, there was a big game talked up into that point. And then your true beliefs come out of your heart, right? You start speaking what's truly in your heart. Because we can put up for a front for a while, but truth is always going to come out. you know, the truth of your heart is always going to come out. So this is where I want to encourage us. They're all familiar, but let's turn to Daniel. We're going to spend some time in Daniel, and then we'll go spend some time in Acts. This is probably one of my favorite instances in the Bible. It's in Daniel 3. We'll start in verse 15. It's where Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, you know, Nebuchadnezzar calls the whole kingdom to come and bow down and worship him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go. As soon as the music starts playing, everyone is to bow down and worship. So I picture this, and I love it. Thousands of people, thousands. Music starts playing. Everybody's bowing down except three. I can just picture that. And just the impact and the power of that statement. Meditate on that, because just think about the people around them going, oh my God, what are they doing? You know, all the thoughts, and I'm sure there was people going, gosh, I wish I would have stood with them. You know, there's all these different mindsets going on right now, but they stood. And so, in verse 15, go down kind of halfway through it starts, but if you do not worship, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking, they've been brought up, they're standing before the king, he's telling them to worship him, and then he says, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who can deliver you out of my hand? Look at the arrogance. Look at the pride. I think we could probably equate that with some people vying for power in our country right now. Look at the arrogance and look at the pride. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer on this matter. I want to go to King James quick because I love how that says it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't have to think about what they were going to say. They didn't have to confer with each other to say, well, how can we say this softly to not offend the king, but yet keep God, you know, keep God happy and keep the king happy. There was no consideration as to how this was going to be said. There was no consideration as to what they were going to say. They had it in their hearts. They knew who they were. They knew who God was. And they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, standing before the most powerful man on earth, no. And we don't even have to think about that answer. No. We will stand. And then they go as far as to say, and even if we're not delivered, we will not bow. I mean, what a relationship. They had, I think, a revelation of eternity, and they had a revelation of who God was. And these are Old Testament, Old Covenant believers. You know, they didn't have what we have today. But man, did they have a revelation that it doesn't matter what happens to me, I am standing for the Word of God. I am standing for God Almighty, no matter what's going on around me. There was no wavering in those three, no contemplation. Even if they weren't going to be delivered, they weren't going to compromise because they believed. They had relationship, and they didn't even have the relationship that we have. That's the amazing part about it. You look at all these amazing people and things that happened in the Old Testament, and they were yearning for what we have. That is power. That should encourage you and motivate you. You know, their response brought anger, and truth will do that. But how do we withstand that truth? We have the Holy Spirit, and we just keep doing what's said. We keep going forward. Because how many people have experienced extreme anger when you've told something or corrected somebody or maybe called out something that needed to be changed? Extreme anger. But then, it may not happen right away, but then they come back and they say, you know what, you were right. Because our emotions always want to get the best of us in these situations. We don't want to be told we're prideful. We don't want to be told, and it's no different then, and it's no different now. You know? But it was worth it because of the seed that was planted. Because guess what? What Nebuchadnezzar is about to see is going to change his life. Right? They planted a seed of, no, you are not God. No, we will not bow. And that was a seed. Everything we do, everything we say is a seed. And this isn't necessarily about, and I don't think it is about defiance, because they still came to the assembly. Right? If they just had their righteous indignation, you know, pulled up and, well, I'm not even going to go. Well, then how would have God used them? You know, so it's not, they still went. I mean, think about that. You know, we get so worked up about certain things in this life going on around us. But is it such a big matter? But when it's time to stand, it's time to stand. You know? And that's why it's so important. And I love that we're going through the Holy Spirit, you know, on Wednesday nights. And I think it's just so necessary now. We have to be being led in what we're doing in this life. It's not about defiance. It's about truth and placing his truth and his reality above man's, right? Because the world only sees it one way. They don't understand what we have. They don't understand the Spirit. You know, they don't understand that there's something higher than them. I mean, that's... So they're praying here. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with great boldness by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be performed in the name of your holy son, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. We are in a day and age of boldness. Who are we? Who do we say he is? And are we going to speak the truth in boldness when that moment arises? Because when we do, there is provision. When we do, we are being led. When we do, we have the power of God on our side. Think about that. The power of the living God resides in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. That just amazes me. It amazes me. It amazes me. And we have all that we need because of it. You know? We have the Word of God. We have preachers. We have teachers to help us grow in this. If there's questions, ask. Let's stop staying stuck. Right? Let's grab a hold of this, because this is what's going to get us through this. Everything that's going on in the world right now, this is what's going to get us through. Being led by the Holy Spirit. We can try other ways, but I can tell you your end. I'm going to put my trust in God, who has a plan for my life, who has a purpose for my life, who wants me to succeed, who's equipped me with all things. Every single one of us are equipped with all things. It's there, waiting to be used. You know, I was in the military, so I can make these. We were equipped to go to battle. But if I didn't understand how my rifle worked, it was useless. If I didn't know how to understand how to throw a grenade, it was useless. If I didn't understand my job, I was useless. It was a hard realization for me that I had to make myself useful. Right? I had to make myself useful by turning to God instead of trying to walk this out on my own. I had to make that decision that I'm done. Lord, you lead me. You guide me. And then all those weapons that we have at our disposal come up. And you don't even realize it. There's conversations that I have and I don't even know where that came from. But that's what that's one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, isn't it? You know, don't worry about what you're going to say because I'll give it to you in that hour. You know, when you go before those who persecute you, don't worry about what you're going to say because I'm going to give it to you. Because are we speaking on our own authority anyways? No. It's reliance on the Holy Spirit. Turn over to John. You know I can't preach without going to John. John 16. And luckily I just got to do a teaching at school on the Holy Spirit, so I'm fresh. John 16, I want to establish this relationship because Jesus came, he died. It says in John 16:7, it's better that I go. Huge, huge statement. It's better that I go because if I go, then the Father can send the Holy Spirit. Then the Father can send you that power. So, we have God. We have Jesus at his right hand. Then we have the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us if we receive him. So let's go to 16:13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you all things that are to come. So we're establishing a relationship here. So Jesus is speaking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealing and moving in us what we need to grow, what we need for the time. He will tell us things to come. You know, this equipping, these tools that we have at our disposal. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. These are tools that we have at our disposal that the Holy Spirit wants to use in us. Go down to 14. He will glorify me, the Holy Spirit, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. Now, verse 15, pay attention to this. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. So God has given everything he has to Jesus. All means all. There's no other translation. All means all. God has given everything to Jesus. And Jesus says, I will speak to the Holy Spirit. So all is just being transferred through this line to us. All things. It's a powerful, powerful statement. We just read earlier, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That's the relationship we have. And when we start to develop that relationship, when we start to identify ourselves as sons and daughters of God, that he is pleased with us, that he wants this power to move in us, that he wants us to succeed. He wants us to go into this world and preach the gospel. He desires that all come to him, right? He doesn't want to leave anybody behind, but he's going to use us to do it. And if we're powerless and we have no idea the tools that are available to us, how do we walk this out? It's daunting, it's overwhelming, because I was there. I wanted to be used, but I had nothing to give. But the power of God can change all of that. You can either let that overwhelming spirit, that doubt, consume you and tell you you're not good enough, or you can rise to the occasion and say, no, I am a child of God. I have all the promises of God available to me, living inside of me. I choose power. Choose power instead of death. Choose life. God even told us, I set before you life and death. And he gives the answer. Choose life. Choose him. Right? Which brings me to stop selling yourself short. You don't have to be up here speaking to be walking in the power of God. Everywhere we go, we can be walking and influencing people with the power of God. His love can be shining through us. His mercy, his grace, his goodness, his power. Stop. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Not anymore, he doesn't. He's given us the revelation of grace. He's given us the revelation of his Son. His Son is the express image of him. So all we have to do is look at his Son, and we can learn and grow because we know who Jesus is. If we know who Jesus is, we know who the Father is. Mystery solved. Right? But as always, it's a choice. Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to pursue it? Are we going to seek? He didn't say seek and you will find to just yank you along. He didn't tell you knocking the door and it will be open just to shut it in your face. He wants this, he desires, his desire is revelation of him. How much he loves you. How much he wants for you. He wants fullness. He wants life. He wants power to be working in you. That is his desire. That's why Jesus came to develop so we can have a true relationship again. Not based on works, but based on love. I love him because he first loved me. What an amazing thought. I didn't have to do anything. His love just influenced me. His love brought me out. It was nothing I could do because everything I was trying to do was driving me deeper. Stop. Well, this must be his will. No. God is good. Stop selling yourself short because you don't know something. If you don't know, if you don't have a revelation, start digging. Because God is good, period. Period. Stop. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. We hear this stuff all the time. And it's because we don't have the proper knowledge of who God was. Job did his best, but it was in his own power. Job did not have the covenant that we had. And if you read the end of Job, he falls on his face and apologizes for every word he said. because he was wrong, because he didn't know who God was. He thought he knew who God was. I think Job blamed God 76 times in that book. Pride. Right? We do not base our life off of Job's life when we have Jesus, when we have the new covenant. We got to get this religious thinking out of us. That is not who God is. If people want to walk under that, they're doing it in their own ignorance. I hate to be harsh, but that's the truth of it. And we need truth. We have to have truth, because you will not grow outside of truth. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore. I challenge you, let's grow. Let's keep going forward. Let's let the Lord work that boldness in us to speak his goodness in any and all situation, to stand when we need to stand, to speak when we need to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the all things that we have available to us. You are a child of God, and he is a good father. So stand on that. Stand on his word. Stand on his promises. We can do this. If he can do it in me, he can do it in anybody. We can do this, and we can bring this to other people. Because Lord knows the world needs it. Man, that's good. Thank you, Lord. So, some takeaways here. You are a child of God, and don't stop telling yourself that. We can stand with boldness with anything that comes our way. God wants this. God desires that we walk in this, because he is a good God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear and Father, we just thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you love us and you want all this for us. You want your power working in us. You want your knowledge, your wisdom working in us. And Father, it comes with relationship, and I just speak forth your relationship right now. Your goodness, your love, and your mercy just being expressed and exposed to everyone here. So we can give it to others, Father. We thank you for the opportunities to come, that we will not back down, but we will stand and we will speak with boldness the truth of your love, the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you for what you're doing in RVFM. And we just speak blessing and love over everybody that's involved, Father. That you are filling us, that you are equipping us to go out and affect this area, affect this world, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.